The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Last fall, during chemotherapy treatments, I hit a low point. It felt something like Ezekiel's valley of dry bones. I felt like my body had betrayed me, and all I could do was wait. For what? I did not know. Although my doctors were assuring me of recovery, all I could see was a desolate valley that I had to cross. My prayer shrunk to three words: Lord, have mercy. One day at the clinic, a young man in the cubicle next to mine finished his treatment. As he walked away, I heard him softly say, "Lord, have mercy." In that moment, I knew how I was not alone. Today, on the second Pentecost of the COVID-19 pandemic, we are not alone. We have an advocate who sustains us in our agony through the driest of valleys. The readings that I chose for today contain a particular message for this Pentecost of 2021. It is a message of hope, love, of faith, and of waiting. It is, I believe, a message we have been waiting for. We each may hear this message differently. You might hear a hope different from mine. Your experience of love may be unlike mine. Your faith may arise on a different note. But these differences still point us in the same direction, toward the same ending, from the same beginning. We are all in this together, just like that young man at the clinic and I were, together that day in our agony, seeking God's mercy. Despite our differences, one thing we all share that is the same is the waiting. We wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies, as Paul says in the letter to the Romans. Jesus implies, according to John, that waiting is necessary, is essential, because fulfillment arrives in stages. We humans experience this as a process of birth, death, and renewal. It is a sequence of carefully and lovingly designed movements from a beginning to an end that becomes a new beginning. Each new beginning offers renewed hope, renewed love, and renewed faith. There is hope and love in birth. There is love and faith in death. And there is faith and hope in renewals of all kinds. Connecting them all is the waiting in between. We wait in hope for birth. We love the newly born. We love life and grow in faith as we approach our death that is waiting in the wings for its unknown cue. A move that will propel us into redemption and life in Christ in the promised land of Ezekiel's prophecy. The bones of Ezekiel's valley have long waited. They are dry, very dry. All flesh is gone. No blood, no muscle, no nerve endings, no skin. Those bones have been laid bare. Yet God tells Ezekiel those bones can live again. They just need his prophetic voice to carry the life force God will renew in them, and the breath from the four winds God will breathe into them, so they will live. This breath is God's Spirit. This breath will faithfully carry those renewed bones home. Paul writes of the long waiting of creation for its fulfillment. We're still waiting. We know this waiting as the billions of years that have passed through the evolution of the world that Father Willie preached about last week, the great cosmos, the universe of all that has come from what we call the Big Bang. Surely the biggest groan of all, expressing the hope and love and faith of God in God's own creation. This is the groan we echo every day of our lives in our faith in the physicality of our bodily being, in the hope for truth revealed in the angst of our existential awareness, and in the loving sighs of our faithful and sometimes wordless prayers. God meant us to have this hope and faith and love in our physical being, our bodies, and our neighbors' bodies as our own. God meant us to hope for what we do not see, to have faith in what we do see, and to know love in the hope and the faith. Earth was created to provide everything we need, and we were formed for waiting in faith, season to season. God planted within us a knowing to give form and substance to our hope, and breathed into us the life of love, the advocate, our constant companion in every moment of our waiting. We know this life of love as the Spirit of Truth breathed into us so that we might discern hope and faith from illusion and seduction. We know this life of love as the Holy Interceding Spirit, the helper who prays for us in our weakness, guides us in our blindness, and glorifies Jesus to us. The renowned 20th century poet T.S. Eliot wrote this. I said to my soul, be still and wait without hope, for hope would be hope for the wrong thing. Wait without love, for love would be love for the wrong thing. There is yet faith, but the faith and the love and the hope are in the waiting. In my reading of Eliot's words, I hear his angst, his despairing impatience, his doubting faith, answered by the Spirit of Truth, interceding to reveal the antidote to his wrong things. The antidote is in the waiting. It's not in hoping for a quick fix, a cheap solution, or a windfall. It's not in loving things at all. It's not in putting faith into such hope in or love of the trivial, the temporal, the tarnishable. It's not in the constant motion of choosing, competing, and consuming. The right things are in the stillness and in the waiting. Be still and know that I am God, your God, who comes to you in a still small voice, a voice as powerful as wind, as forceful as fire, and as loving as the reaching arms of a little child. I said to my soul, be still. The faith and the love and the hope are in the waiting. What are you waiting for? What waiting connects you to your next right thing? What hope is in your waiting? Remember, it's waiting in hope, not hoping itself. The wrong thing about hoping is that we may construct our own hope instead of waiting in hope for God. Same with faith. We might put our faith into something material that will carry us away from our own soul. Or we can wait faithfully in God. And yes, love, too, is in the waiting, in the stillness of not knowing. We need not know the hour of our death in order to love our lives. Paul says, we hope for what we do not see. We wait for it with patience. Through time, we've traversed an agonizing valley of dry bones, each of us in our own ways, waiting moment to moment, year to year, while our advocate, our Spirit of life, Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit of love, comes again and again, transforming agony into joy. Is this the message you've been waiting for? Amen.
Amen.